Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 135 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. Happy Cinco de Mayo Day to everybody, to all the fanatics out there. As always, the podcast is sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of soccer tonight. The annual Ankeny Derby was held on Monday night, and Ankeny Centennial came away with a sweep of the Jaghawk doubleheader. In a little while, I'll be visiting with Centennial boys coach Brian Duax and one of his top players. But right now, we're going to focus on the girls' game. My first guest is the head coach of the Centennial girls squad. He has guided the Jaguars to a 9-1 record and a number 2 ranking in Class 3A. His team posted a 4-0 victory over Ankeny to defeat the Hawkettes for the fifth straight time. He is Chris Allen. Chris, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you bet. Well, I know you told me after the game that you felt like your team's performance maybe wasn't as dominant as what the final score showed, but you've had about 48 hours now to reflect on the win. I'm guessing you've had a chance to watch a replay of the game. You know, looking back on it now, how would you assess your team's play?
Conditions that we faced in the first half going against the wind, I think the girls really did a nice job handling that and, you know, executing some of the things we wanted to do in the game plan. When we ended up on the side with the wind blowing at us, I was a little bit worried that we might just have to defend for that whole half and try to execute in the second half, but it didn't turn out that way. You know, they came out with fire and got a corner kick really early on as an opportunity, and then of course the one that followed a little bit later, I think at the 13th minute mark or whatever, and that Courtney Kovacs put away. So I could have been more pleased with how the girls came out and faced the wind and faced a tough Ankeny squad.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the goal by Kovacs in the 13th minute, and then Avery Porter scored her team leading 11th goal of the season off an assist by Ellie Street with about 3 minutes left in the half. You know, you certainly had to feel good about your team's chances at halftime, especially knowing that you'd have the win, you know, behind you in the second half.
Yeah, for sure. That second goal gave us a lot of confidence. I think even Avery spoke to that. One, the build-up play to create that goal. There's just so many good things that went into that. That goal, whether it was, I think it was E that was holding the ball up in the channel, and then Katie Compton came blasting through and took the ball in overlap, got it up the field. You know, I think Meg White ended up with it at some point. Then it came out of the 18 and fell to Ellie Street, who drove it back into the 18 and then connected with a beautiful cross to Avery Porter, and that the volley of a finish was just so exciting.
Well, then your team added another goal just 2 minutes into the second half, again off a corner kick by Macy Epp. Alana Pennington headed the ball off a defender and into the net. And that was kind of a situation where if you put some pressure on the defense, you know, maybe something good's going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and we've talked about just being a little bit scrappier around the goal face and trying to get something on the ball. And that was certainly an effort that led to that. So, you know, both those final two goals were just getting something to the ball and cleaning it up around the goal.
Yeah, then you guys scored your final goal with about 10 minutes left off yet another kick, a corner kick by Epp. This time it was Ella who found the ball in a scrum and was able to finish. You know, obviously you found something that works with Macy taking most of those corner kicks. She leads your team now with 6 assists. What is she able to do on those corner kicks that makes her so effective?
Well, I just think Macy has a lot of power. So, like, even with the windy conditions, she's able to generate a kick that kind of hangs for the girls to track down, and she gets it to the right spot just about every time. You know, there's been a couple of times that she's varied it up a little bit with the driven ball in. And so I think, you know, she's just going to give us an opportunity nearly every time that she goes up to take one of those corner kicks. And then it's everybody else's job to be brave on the other end of it and make sure they hit their zones the way that they're supposed to, time their runs. And so we saw a lot of that, I think, against Ankeny.
Well, this was the 7th straight shutout for your team, and the last 2 have come against ranked opponents. On Friday, you guys posted a 3-0 victory over Davenport Assumption, the number 1 team in Class 1A, and that was in the Tournament of Champions at Burlington. You guys didn't even allow a shot on goal in that game. And then against the Hawkettes, your goalkeeper, Allie Jumper, made a couple of saves to preserve the shutout. You know, boy, the way your defense is playing right now, you got to feel good, you know, about playing about anybody right now.
Yeah, I have a lot of confidence in our defense, and even more so, their confidence in one another is growing quite a bit. you know, whether it's CC moving the back line around or Allie just leading the entire crew. In general, they've upped their game. They've kind of figured out the positioning. We've got people in different spots than maybe what they're used to in that back line. But the reps that we've had with them back there now and against the quality opponents that we've had a chance to face has just really helped them grow.
Well, your team's only loss came to Pleasant Valley on April 10th by a 3-2 score, and Pleasant Valley has been the number one team most of the season, but I see the Spartans did lose back-to-back games to Bettendorf and Dowling Catholic over the weekend, so every team in Class 3A now has at least one loss, but it seems likely that you guys will take over that number one spot in the rankings this week. Do you think the girls will be excited about that, or do you think, you know, they'll take it with a grain of salt?
Yeah, I think they'll be excited. I think I would be pretty out of touch with my team if I didn't think they'd be excited. They've worked hard, and we don't know what the rankings are going to be when they come out on Thursday, but if they end up in that number one spot, I think they've worked hard for that position. And, you know, teams change over the course of a season, and we needed that game against Pleasant Valley to reevaluate ourselves and kind of demand that we up the way we play and figure some things out, which we did, as it showed when we came out and played Valley the very next Monday, kind of implementing the look that we have right now in most of our matches. And so I think that they'll see that as a, if it does come out that way in our favor, that they'll see that as, you know, something that they've worked hard for. And then at the same time, you know, that ranking, whatever it might be, whether it's a number two still or somebody leapfrogs us or whatever, it's not going to win us any games. You know, we still got to go back to work every day and just continue to climb. Is something we've been talking about, is just a continual ascent towards the end of the season. And so that's got to be our focus. You know, it'll be fun to celebrate whatever it is, but our focus has got to be always getting better, because that's what every other team's doing too.
Well, your team will play Des Moines East on Friday, and then you'll have a week off before hosting Mason City next Friday. It looks like the toughest of your five remaining games will come on May 18th at Dowling. You know, that'll be a good test to get you ready for the postseason, won't it?
Yeah, Dowling looks like they'll be a good test. And I won't be dismissive of some of the other schools we face at the end of the season, but prior to Dowling, we added a trip to Council Bluffs. Just the way that's set up for us, that's going to be a pretty tough test, because we're going to go back-to-back games, which is something I would never want to do, but you know, we've been looking to fill our schedule this season, and went the first week without getting a game on opening night or even the following night. So when the opportunity to get to a tournament to face a quality Abraham Lincoln side and a Sioux City side, we jumped on that.
Well, I know the postseason is still a few weeks away, and you don't even know your regional draw yet, but from what you've seen, you know, from your team thus far, you got to think that this group has a chance to do some special things, I would think.
Of our team is just to have a belief in ourselves. It's not a cockiness, but we want to have a confidence. And then we want our work ethic and what we do in practice to match that belief, that desire to win. I'm certainly think very positively of what this team might be able to accomplish.
I'm going to be talking to Ellie Street here in a few minutes, and I want to get your thoughts on her season thus far. She's been a big part of your stingy defense. You know, she's really done a nice job, hasn't she?
Yeah, she really has. And, you know, she's managing a schedule that nobody would want to do. You know, she's a stuck on the track team, and of course doing a great job for us on the soccer team as well. She's splitting practices about 50-50 as much as she can. She's got a meet and two soccer games just about every week. So she's doing a tremendous job.
Well, yeah, she ran a couple of winning relays in the conference meet last night, and yeah, she's a huge part of that track team. You know, does that disrupt, you know, your guys' practice at all when she kind of comes and goes and you're not sure what nights, you know, she's going to be there or whatever?
No, you know, high school's about opportunity, and so she sees in her opportunity. And we can schedule the practice as best as we can on nights that we know that we might have her for 100%. Or on nights that she's showing up late, making sure that we're kind of at the point where it makes sense for her to work in and to jump in and get connected with her teammates.
All right, Chris. Well, hey, good luck the rest of the season. It should be fun. Looking forward to it. So, hey, we'll talk to you later.
All right, Dan. Thanks for having us on again. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
All right, my next guest is a junior defender for the Centennial girls team, and she's also a sprinter on the Jaguars track team, so she's having a very busy spring. And I appreciate her giving us a few minutes of her time right now. She is Ellie Street. Ellie, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, congratulations on the win over Ankeny on Monday night. What did you think was the key to your team's victory?
I think just staying composed I mean, it is like a rivalry game, but we just approached it like any other game, and I think we just really came together and capitalized on those opportunities that we had.
Well, you guys had to go into the wind during that first half, but you were still able to build a 2-0 lead. How much of a factor in the game was the wind?
You know, wind is a huge factor sometimes, but I think, like, personally, our team, like, does pretty well against the wind. Like, we use that as a strategy. I don't know, instead of playing balls over the back line just to build up.
Well, you made a nice connection to Avery Porter for your team's second goal. Were you looking for her specifically there when you had the ball, or did you just happen to see her?
Opposite any runners in the box, and I kind of saw her go by, and so yeah, I just aimed for Avery. Yeah.
Well, she's certainly having a great season. She currently leads the team with 11 goals, and of course, you guys have have also been teammates on the girls' basketball team. You two seem to have a lot of chemistry on the basketball court. Do you think some of that chemistry translates over to the soccer field?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, for sure.
It just seems like you guys have been playing together for a long time. Well, you guys ended up scoring 3 of your 4 goals on Monday off corner kicks by Macy Epp. And earlier this season, you scored a goal in your team's big 2-1 win at Valley off a free kick by Macy. Does she just have a knack for putting the ball in the right spot?
Yeah, I think she does. She does a really good job. Her service is amazing, and we just get the end of it and put in the goal.
Well, the shutout was the 7th in a row for your team, and you've been a big part of that strong back line. What has made you guys so effective on defense the last 2 or 3 weeks?
I think just really coming together and everyone's kind of settling into their roles, and communication is huge too in the back line.
Well, whose job is it to keep you guys organized in the back, or is it kind of a collective effort?
Kind of collective, but I think the goalkeeper, because she sees everything, and also the center backs, because they also see everything on the field, and they're doing a great job communicating and being leaders on the field.
Well, I know there have been some games where you guys haven't even given up a single shot, but your goalkeeper, Allie Jumper, has also made 11 saves on the season. How much confidence do you have in her, you know, in the goal to make a stop if she has to come up with one?
Oh, I have a lot of confidence in her. She's a great goalkeeper, and I trust her, and I, like, expect her to make a save, and yeah.
Well, you guys have 5 games left in the regular season, including a showdown at number 6, Dowling Catholic, on May 18th. Do you think that'll be a good game to have, you know, in preparation for postseason play?
Yeah, I think it'll be a good game for us just to test us as a team, and I'm excited for it.
Well, what are some things that you think that this team still needs to improve on in the next few weeks?
I think we can always work on, like connecting and connecting passes, and I think also, like, finishing even our opportunities that we have.
All right. Well, Ellie, I mentioned that you're also running a track for the Jaguars. You guys had a really good conference meet last night up there at Mason City, placing 2nd behind Ankeny. You ran on a pair of winning relays, the sprint medley and the 4x400. What did you think of your team's performance last night?
Well, I thought we did really good. I think we went out there and just had fun with it, and I think we ended up with great results.
Well, I know in that sprint medley relay, when you handed the baton to anchor runner Catherine Vertherms, you guys were trailing Ames by a little bit. How confident were you that Catherine could chase her down?
Oh, I was really confident in her. She's a great runner, and I knew she could get her because that's what Kat does.
Now, with a couple of other big meets coming up on the track, you know, it seems like last night's meet, maybe there wasn't that much pressure because you guys could just kind of go out there and perform. I mean, was that kind of the case, that there wasn't that much pressure on you guys last night?
I personally didn't feel much pressure, and I don't think anyone else really did. I think we just went out there and did our best.
Yeah, it seems like both you guys and the Ankeny team really, you know, really had good meets, and maybe that was part of the reason. But.
Yeah.
Well, you're obviously doing well both on the track and on the pitch. You know, how hard has it been to juggle the two sports this spring?
It honestly hasn't been as difficult as I thought it was going to be. My teammates do a great job, like, making it super easy for me. They're super supportive. Like, when I go to soccer practice, they're always asking about track. They're super positive and supportive, which makes it easier. And my coaches obviously made it super easy for me. They do great with scheduling, and they're super supportive of me in both sports as well.
Do you think it's more mentally or physically challenging?
I'd say probably physically. I guess both a little bit. I don't know.
Well, do you try to practice both sports most nights, or do you kind of have to alternate, you know, your practice days?
Start off at track, and then I leave from there and then go finish that soccer practice.
All right. Well, have you thought much about your future plans? Are you planning to play any of your sports in college? You know, and if so, which one? Or maybe you'd like to play, you know, more than one sport in college?
Actually, I haven't really decided much yet. Basketball and soccer probably are my main ones that I'm wanting to go to college for. But I haven't really decided yet. It'd be cool to play both too, but I haven't really thought much into it yet.
We certainly got some time to figure things out. So, well, Ellie, you're having a great season. I've enjoyed covering the games. Looking forward to the rest of it. So good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
Hey, you bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is the head coach of the Centennial Boys Squad. He has guided the Jaguars to a 9-4 record and a number 11 ranking in Class 3A. On Monday, his team posted a 3-1 victory over Ankeny to defeat the Hawks for the first time since 2015. He is Brian Duak. Brian, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Dan. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, congratulations on the win over Ankeny. I know you told me after the game that it's been a long time coming. Of course, you were the coach at Ankeny back in 2016 and 17 when the Hawks defeated Centennial before you took over the Jaguars program. So now you've been on the winning side of the rivalry as both a Hawk and a Jaguar. Did this one feel any differently for you?
No. I mean, that game every single year has a little bit of added oomph to it just because of the rivalry. You know, it's nice to get the monkey off my back that after I changed schools, I finally now have a victory. But other than that, just another game.
Well, the boys are pretty excited to get their hands on that pickaxe after the game. So where does the pickaxe go? Does it go in the school's trophy case?
So I'm not sure where it's supposed to go at Centennial since we haven't had it since we've been here. right now it is in the closet that I store all of my stuff in because I just got it back today because the boys went yesterday off. So this is the first time I've seen them since the win, and the boys had it for social media posts or whatever they were doing with it for the last 48 hours.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't think about that. It's a new thing for you, isn't it?
It is. I mean, before, when I was the Ankeny coach, we did not have the pickaxe, I don't believe. No. And back then, I believe it sat in Mr. Butcher's office.
All right. Well, you guys took control of the game early on as Spencer Thiele scored a pair of goals in the first 20 minutes, matching his entire total from the first 12 games. So did you have any idea that he was going to play such a big role in the win?
So in our game plan, we needed a big, strong target that could hold the ball up and could also make Connor Wahlberg be a little bit uncomfortable. And as a coaching staff, we all went with, that's a Spencer Thiele job if I've ever heard one. And Spencer did that job very, very well. He was obviously a goal-scoring machine for us in the first 20 minutes or so. But he also, anytime Connor Wahlberg had the ball, he made him uncomfortable and made him get rid of it.
Well, both of Thiele's goals came off assists by Emmanuel Reichert, who now leads the team with 7 assists. And Iman told me after the game that he would rather get an assist than a goal any day of the week. And I'm sure that's just music to your ears because every team needs to have some guys like that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, there are times where I have to get on Iman a little bit in terms of, man, you're in front of the net, you're by yourself, just score the goal. But he does love to get himself some assists, which I'll take all day long. But every once in a while, he just needs to be the guy and be the selfish guy and put the ball in the net himself as well.
Well, Ankeny was able to close the gap to 2-1 on a penalty kick by Connor Wahlberg in the 25th minute. And I believe that you may have disagreed with that call as well as a few others during the game. And I don't want you to get any trouble for criticizing the officials, but it did seem like they were a little inconsistent, you know, that night. And this is coming from somebody who really isn't a soccer expert by any means.
Well, you are correct. I did not agree with the ref very often that night. I thought he was calling a lot of tic-tac fouls against us. And then every once in a while, we would get absolutely rocked, and he wouldn't blow his whistle. So during that game, I'm sure you heard me screaming that I just wanted him to be consistent. But if you ask me, that PK was a complete dive and a good acting job out of one of the Eats boys, and good for him. But I would hope that the officials could see it because I could see it from across the field.
Sure, sure. Well, you guys got a big goal from your son, Ty, right before halftime off an assist by Michael Poitry. That made it 3-1 at the half. And, you know, and that goal really changed the complexion of the rest of the game, didn't it?
It really did. You know, once they got the PK, we were kind of on our heels. They definitely had the momentum at the, at that moment. And that was a big-time goal to change the momentum back right before halftime, because I think it would have been a lot tighter if we would have started the second half 2-1 going into that wonderful breeze that Ankeny brings every year.
Well, yeah, you guys had the benefit of the win in the first half, but you knew that Ankeny would have that same benefit in the second half, so you probably didn't feel entirely comfortable at halftime, did you?
No, no, and it's like, I don't know if you saw the other guys that were there, the guys from Kick It Forward who do social media stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they took a photo because I was on a mission to get to the locker room to make adjustments for going into that win, that I didn't stand there and talk to them. And I actually talked to them today, and they were like, "You're the first coach who didn't just give us like 2 minutes." And my response to him is that I wasn't satisfied. The game's not over.
Right. Well, did you guys do anything different in the second half to try to preserve the lead? I mean, you obviously didn't have to score any more goals. Was it more important at that point just to kind of defend?
We did. So, you know, the original game plan was to try and limit their impact players. And they have more than the three impact players, but, you know, the Yeats twins plus Wahlberg are kind of their engine. So the first half with the win, the plan was to not allow them to impact the game. You know, Spencer's job was making sure Connor Wahlberg didn't find the ball. Evan Larson, if you noticed, Evan Larson's been playing center back for us for basically the entire year, and we moved him into the midfield to handle one of the Yeats twins. And then whoever was our right back, which was Geiger and or Cox, had to handle the other Yeats twins and hope that, you know, if we eliminate those three, somebody else on their team's going to have to beat us.
One of you told me after the weekend tournament at Iowa City High where you guys posted a 3-0 victory over number 2 Pleasant Valley before losing in a shootout to number 7 Bettendorf that your team was slowly becoming a Jekyll and Hyde squad because of your inconsistency. You know, do you feel a little better now about your team following the win, or do you guys still have a ways to go as far as becoming more consistent?
Friday will tell us a lot. I knew that the boys would be jacked for the game against Ankeny. I mean, if you're not excited for that game, your big rivalry game, you should probably check your pulse. We'll see how Friday goes. That'll tell me a lot more of if they've grown a little bit from the Iowa City weekend and the loss to Bettendorf, or if we're still in the same habits that we were. I believe they're making strides, but giving them today off and then having a shortened practice tonight because we were going through the senior signing awards at Centennial, it wasn't our best practice, and I anticipated it wouldn't be, so hopefully they turn it around tomorrow, and we have a really good training session tomorrow to go into a 9-4 East team that has the exact same record as us, so they can't be overlooked by any means.
All right. Well, even though he didn't find the net on Monday, I wanted to ask about your standout freshman, Andrew Heckenliable. He set a school record with 6 goals and a win over Marshalltown on Thursday, and he now leads the team with 14 goals. He's probably got a shot to set the single-season school record as well, which is 25 goals set by Nerman Kremich in 2015. Now, I know you've told me that you haven't been that surprised by Andrew's success because you've been coaching him along with your son for such a long time, but I also noticed you kind of got after him a little bit there in the second half on Monday night. So what areas does he still need to improve on to become an even better player?
Defending all the time as well. They have to buy into sharing the ball more. You know, when you're playing 15 versus 15 in terms of years old, things come easier for guys like Andrew and Ty and Braden because they're playing kids their own age. You start playing 18-year-olds, you have to change the way you play, because if you play the exact same way, you're not going to have the same success, because most of those 18-year-olds are going to be bigger, stronger, faster than you. So all three of them need to just get a little bit cleaner in terms of first touch, second touch is away, and then find new space, as well as, you know, the whole team game at certain points. But they're getting there. You know, Andrew's having a really good freshman year. Braden Thiele has come on in the last, like, 3 or 4 games and started for us and played almost the entire game. And then Ty, you know, Ty has his moments of brilliance, and then he has his moments of being a freshman. They all do.
Well, they don't look like freshmen from what I've seen. So.
they've definitely risen to the occasion. You know, like you know, the game that Andrew scored six goals. You know, we had a game plan to try and isolate him on Marshalltown center back, and most teams adjust. And if we're having success, they change it up so we don't have that same success. Well, Marshalltown never changed. So if they weren't going to change, why did we need to change and not score as many goals? So we just kept going to the well at that point. And they never adjusted.
Well, I think you guys have four games left in the regular season, beginning with Friday's game against East, which you alluded to. And other than becoming more consistent, you know, what are you hoping to accomplish in these next four games? Where do you guys still need to see, you know, some more improvement?
So we need to share the ball more. We need to be more consistent in front of the goal. You were at the game Monday. How many chances in that second half did we have where we squandered them? Or even in the first half? You know, you start finishing some of those chances and all of a sudden those games aren't 3-1 and you're worried about it at the end of the game. That needs to be better. And then us just being more confident in winning balls in the back. As Ankeny was getting fouls and pumping balls into our box, those are nervy moments because we haven't been big, strong, athletic kids to win those aerial balls that we should be, but we're not quite there yet. So there's definitely more to improve on between now and Substate. And hopefully, you know, you get a decent draw in Substate. It's never easy. And you hopefully make it through and get another week and a half to play is the whole goal. So consistency is definitely top priority. Finishing would be second priority, and then making sure that we're just the guy in the box. Because, I mean, you make it to that state tournament or even the sub-state final. Games are won and lost on set pieces, and if you're not the guy, meaning a ball winner, a guy who's going to do anything he can to keep the ball out of our goal or into the opponent's goal, that's how you win games when you watch the pros. They score most of their goals on set pieces.
Well, looking ahead to the postseason, you told me recently the number one Waukee has just been hammering everybody this season. And I saw where last night the Warriors posted a 2-0 victory over Dowling, and that was their closest game of the season. And I'm sure they're going to be the favorite to win state this year. Do you think it's going to take a monumental upset for somebody to beat them, or just because of the nature of soccer, you know, would you not consider it a huge upset if they were to get knocked off?
Oh, just because of the streak they're on. You know, I mean, I don't even know when the last time they lost a game was. They're a well-oiled machine right now. Can it be done? Yeah, but it can. Is it going to take a monumental effort, like you said, to do it? Yeah. Is there some different strategies that teams are trying to do to have success against Waukee? I haven't really talked to any of the coaches yet about Waukee because they're not on our schedule. But if we are fortunate enough to draw them in Substate or meet them in the state tournament, I will be asking many questions of many coaches of what they did. Was it successful or was it not in terms of coming up with a game plan if we do meet them?
Well, I'm sure you'd look forward to that challenge, wouldn't you, if you got a chance to play them?
I would love it. You know, Carlos, their coach, I've known forever. I actually used to work for him. I would relish in that. Those are the moments that you get better. You know, you're challenging yourself. It's like a game of chess. So if I make a move, I know Carlos is going to counter that move. Or vice versa. And who can put the players in the best position to win a game? That's the stuff that I coach for. That's the stuff I live, wake up for, and think about soccer when I'm at my normal job. That's the stuff I love.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to the rest of the season. I think all four of Ankeny's teams have a chance to do some damage in the postseason. It should be fun. So, Brian, thanks for your time tonight, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks, Dan.
Hey, you bet.
Appreciate all you do, buddy.
Hey, you bet. All right, listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, my final guest tonight is a senior midfielder for the Centennial boys team. He has scored 3 goals and recorded 5 assists this season. He is Jack Heckenliable. Jack, thanks for joining me. How are you doing? Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on the win over Ankeny. I know you played on the Centennial teams that lost to Ankeny in both 2018 and 19. How did it feel to finally beat the Hawks?
Well, it feels great. I mean, thinking about the seniors last year that didn't get to do it, it just feels great that I was able to this year.
Well, going into the game, what did you think was going to be the key to beating them?
Well, Durant set us up in a 3-6-1, so we basically overloaded their midfielder. Their midfield, and then me and Andrew just went to town on their outside backs, and then we tried to get it into Spencer, who scored 2 goals.
Right. So yeah. Yeah, just talking to Coach Duax, and he told me too how you guys really focused on 3 of their players. You really wanted to key on them and make somebody else beat you, didn't you? Well, you guys did get a couple of early goals from Spencer Thiele, both off assists from Emmanuel Reichert, to take a 2-0 lead midway through the first half. You know, did that take some of the pressure off you guys to get that early lead?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, just getting those 2 quick goals just lets off a lot of weight on your shoulders, and then you just feel like you can do more things and be a bit more confident. And I'm glad that Spencer scored, and he's going to probably start and play even more now. So.
Well, your team had the benefit of the wind in the first half, and how much of a factor was the wind in the game?
It kind of died down a little bit, but having the wind was definitely a help, especially in the first half. But once it died down, it kind of became an even game.
Well, Ankeny did pull within 2-1 on a penalty kick by Connor Wahlberg, but then your team answered with a goal by Ty Duax right before halftime. How important was it to score that goal, you know, going into the half? It had to give you guys a lot of momentum, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Definitely giving us the momentum going into the second half. Well, when we did go in the second half, we definitely didn't have the ball as much, but our game plan was to just double team the Yeats and then try to just find Spencer up top and then go from there.
Well, yeah, the second half did turn into a defensive battle as you guys, you know, just tried to hold on to that lead. Ankeny did threaten a few times, but you were able to maintain the 3-1 lead. How much confidence did you have in your defense, you know, even though the Hawks did have the win in the second half?
I was glad that we had a sort of, came up with a game plan to figure out some, little, I guess, little minor inconveniences to our defense, but once we got that figured out, they weren't going to score a single goal in the second half, and I knew what they would.
Well, you guys seem pretty excited to get your hands on that pickaxe after the game. Did that trophy provide a little extra motivation for the game?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Seeing them always have it since my freshman year, I always wanted to, like, I guess, possess it and just win it for myself, but I'm glad we did.
Well, yeah, coaches tell me that you guys, you know, have had the last couple of days to kind of spread that thing around and do whatever you wanted to do with it. So have you had some fun with it?
Yeah, definitely. Right after the game, we just kind of got pictures, passed it around. It was great.
Well, yeah, Jack, you were a sophomore on the 2019 team that posted a 13-4 record. And then, of course, you know, last season was canceled due to COVID-19. So now you're one of the seniors on the team. So are you trying to be, you know, a leader for the squad?
Trying to do the best I can on the field. I guess I don't really see myself as more of a leader type. I just see myself as kind of someone to look towards, I guess, like playing wise.
Just kind of lead by example.
Younger players see how I do on the field and try to learn from it. That's my goal.
Well, yeah, you guys have added some talented freshmen to the roster this season, including your brother Andrew, who leads the team with 14 goals. And, of course, he set a single-game school record with 6 goals in a win over Marshalltown on Thursday. Did you expect him to come in and have the immediate impact that he's had?
Yeah, I really didn't. I thought he was going to, I wouldn't say sit the bench. I knew he was going to play, but to see him doing that well is crazy.
Well, prior to Monday's game, a coach had told me that you guys, you know, were slowly becoming a Jekyll and Hyde squad just because you've been so inconsistent. Do you think the youth of the team and the inexperience that goes along with that has been a reason for the inconsistency?
It's a tough question. But I don't really see our inconsistency being from inexperience. I see it as more as a mental thing as a team, as a whole. Because I see some of our senior leaders, I don't mean to pick on them, but even them, are, including myself, are being inconsistent as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say inexperienced since we didn't get like a season, or fourth season, but like,
well, I'm sure
we all have to set up in order to stay consistent as possible.
Well, I'm sure it takes a while for the team to gel. You know, when you're mixing seniors like you with the freshmen who are 3 years younger than you, I'm sure it takes a while for you guys to gel.
Yeah. And we've all known each other for a while now since my brother has been, I guess, involved with my teammates since he's for club and even previous years at Centennial. So he's kind of been in the environment almost.
Sure. Well, you guys have just four games left in the regular season. How important do you think it is to close out the season with four more wins to keep the momentum going?
Yeah, our goal is to not lose a single game for the next four games, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Next four games until sub-state starts. And still, we don't want to lose anymore. We want to stay as consistent as possible, score a bunch of goals, and just keep our momentum going for making.
Well, your team is currently ranked 11th in Class 3A. You did see one of the state's top teams earlier this season when you dropped the 2-0 decision to Iowa City West, which is currently ranked third, and you also lost the number 5 Valley 4-2. Do you feel like your team can play with those elite teams, or do you still have some more work to do to close that gap?
I feel like we can play with them, but I feel like we can be dominant over them if we just tweak some things. But once we do that and we're on like 100%, we can totally beat those teams or even dominate them.
Well, number 1, Waukee, and number 4, Sioux City West, are the only remaining unbeaten teams, and Waukee has just been dismantling most of its opponents this season, and I'm sure you followed some of their scores. You know, would you like a crack at them in the postseason, and what do you think it will take for somebody to knock them off?
Waukee is a really good team. They play so quickly, you can't seem to keep up with them. Honestly, it'll be really tough to beat them, I feel like. But if we see them in the postseason, I'm sure Duex will come up, Duex and Daryl will come up with something, and we'll be 100% for that game. And I feel like we could at least hold them, maybe even score goals on them. I don't know.
Well, it'd be fun to see that matchup, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'd love to play.
Well, hey, have you made any plans yet for next year? You plan to play soccer anywhere? Oh, okay. Well, what are you going to study there?
I'm going to study computer engineering.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been to that area before. That's a pretty cool area. I'm sure you'll really enjoy the next 4 years.
Oh, yeah. It'll be great.
Yeah. All right, Jack. Well, hey, thanks a lot for your time and enjoyed the conversation. Hey, good luck the rest of the year.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Hey, you bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again tonight for joining me. We had Centennial Girls Soccer Coach Chris Allen and one of his top players, Ellie Street. We had Centennial Boys Soccer Coach Brian Duax and one of his top players, Jack Heckenliable. Enjoy the conversation with all those folks. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. I think we'll be talking some girls tennis next week.